introducing this person. As a secretary, one of the great joys that you have is surprising somebody with asking them to come and speak. And this person was at a meeting here. I could tell they had a great program. And afterwards, I was just having a polite conversation, and they thought they were about to walk away. And I said, oh, by the way, would you like to be the main speaker? And the look of, I can't believe I fell for this, came over her face. But the beautiful thing is, Sandra will give a great talk tonight. She's got a great program, so let's give it up to Sandra, please.
Thank you. I've been sick about this, but I was very surprised. And then the other day at the women's meeting, a lady said, oh, you're speaking at this. I said something about the meeting. I said 8 o'clock meeting. Said, oh, my, that meeting? You're speaking there? And so I thought, oh, my God, what does that mean? So I am Sandra, and I am an alcoholic. Hi, everybody. I like to remain anonymous. I don't want to be up here, you know, talking about all the things that I did. And I didn't want to, anyway, I'm a very private person, and I think I better get the tissues up here just in case. I had kind of a traumatic day today, but I want to talk about what it was like, and I'm going to start with when I was a kid. And I'm not sad, I'm just, I don't know what I am. So I'll take it a little here and here. It's all in the past, but I grew up and I was abused sexually, emotionally, physically, in every way, and I had to really leave home before I was 18. And I used to somatize my illnesses, and if you don't know what that means, it means that I didn't speak, but I just got sick. I just got sick, and that was my life. I had horrible stomach aches, and my parents had me in the hospital several times, and the doctors would say, what's wrong with her? What's going on? Is that home? But in those days, nobody did anything. But anyway, I grew up, and church. My parents took me to church. I'm so freaked out. I thought I was going to speak like, oh, good, let that 10-minute speaker go on for 20 minutes. I can talk as long as I want to, and I wanted that quick little... But anyway, so I was a liar, cheater, and a thief from the time I was 4 years old because I couldn't tell the truth. I mean, nobody said, Sandra, how are you feeling? Nobody did that. And my mother once went to that circle where people eat, I forgot, Weight Watchers. And I said, oh, Mom, what happened? She said, well, they sat in a circle and they started talking about their feelings. And I said, Mom, what did you do? This was when I could have a conversation with her as an adult many years later. She said, I ran away. I can't talk about my feelings. So I grew up in a life, just secret. Everything was a secret. My parents did have a lot of things to be secretive about. I have no secrets today. But, let's see. I was trying to make this short and it's getting longer. So I, at 21, I was sitting in a bar with my soon-to-be first husband, and he said, what do you have to drink? And I said, well, I don't drink. He said, oh, she'll have a Bacardi and Coke. And so that was my very first drink, and I've heard in AA, even though I didn't believe I was an alcoholic for a very long time, that I wasn't an alcoholic. But I remember my first drink, and I've heard people saying, hey, I remember my first drink, and I heard that normal people don't remember their first drink. It's not a big deal. It's just like whatever. So anyway, I had my first drink, got married to this man who was nice. I thought he was normal, and I thought I was crazy. He married my mother. He didn't know it. But I always thought I was so crazy. Even a few years ago, I thought, oh, boy, I was just such a bad wife. But we were married for 5 years, and I just knew that I couldn't continue like that. Now, meanwhile, I was just drinking. He said once or twice, maybe, do you really need that drink? And I said, yes, I do. Meanwhile, so I left him and I moved to New York City and continued to drink. And I didn't like alcohol from the beginning. I have a different story. People need to hear my story because everybody has a different story. And I thought, well, I have to prove that I'm an alcoholic. I'm sure you'll understand. But I drank. I just drank. I didn't like alcohol. I still don't like alcohol. I haven't had an alcohol in 30 years, but I just drank because I didn't have a reason not to. That was the reason. And so I divorced this man, and my drinking escalated. And the second time I got married, I married somebody who, my first husband married my mother. My second husband, I married my mother. He was crazy and lunatic, and I didn't want to marry him, but I really could not say no. I broke up with him a few times. He was really crazy. I was probably right with him, but I didn't say no. And we got married, and about a week, I can't remember if it was a week or a month after we were married, I started having an affair. And I started having an affair because I hated him so much. I couldn't say, I hate you. I was a kid again. I was silent, and he'd say, okay, you drunken Indian, what can I get for you? What can I get you? I'll get you a drink. And it was one drink. It was like this big. And it was just anything to disappear and to go away. And so he went away on a business trip, and I got on a bus to go to New Jersey, where we lived, and I met this guy, and we started having an affair. How much time do I have? This is horrible.
Right.
I don't
have to go all the way up to 9 o'clock.
Oh, God. So I started having an affair with this guy. We're on the bus, and he's very nice, and I thought he was I'm telling you this because I have so much time. Anyway, I thought he was tall, and his father was a Greek ship owner or something. I thought, oh, I'm so lucky, and you know, we had these dates every other week and blah, blah, blah. And I just knew that I wasn't going to be married. I couldn't stay married to this crazy man, and I just couldn't do what I was doing. And it's less than 9 months I was married to this man. It's so embarrassing. So I don't want to notice that my husband is sitting right here, but you know, because I am a very private person, but everybody says, oh, your husband, you brought your husband. Oh, and I'm like, please. This is a good husband. This is a good one. But the one I was married to for 9 months was horrible. And I knew, the point about my being a child was, I got these horrible stomach aches that I could just, it's a wonder. I mean, I had to leave because I knew I'd be dead if I stayed with this crazy family. And it's so painful that I've been to the hospital many times, and they would say, oh, have you taken Maalox? You have to do this. I said, no, I've had tons of Maalox. I have to have, and it wasn't an, you know, I had to have, they gave me, not heroin, cocaine. What is it? Something, you know, that to take the pain away. And I would go. And that was, I just couldn't do it by myself. But before I came into AA, I learned not to give myself stomach aches. And one of the ways, just before I came in, I was at my bottom was when I married with this nut. And so my boyfriend at the time said, you know, I'm engaged. I'm getting married next week. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. You don't mind, do you? I said, oh, no, no. And he said, okay, well, when I get back from my honeymoon, we'll pick up. And I said, oh, sure, no problem. So I left this crazy man because I knew. It's just like I left in the middle of the night my house when I was 17. I left in the middle of the night. I was homeless for one day. Somebody helped me, and I really was. I was just a kid. I mean, I didn't know anything, but thank God I got helped out by this family, this Christian family who took me in, and everybody thought I was rough trade, but I really wasn't. I was just dumb. I didn't know anything. But anyway, now I'm married to this man, and I snuck out. He went to work. He said, bye. And I said, bye. And he said, okay, I'll see you later. Yeah, bye. And I packed the suitcase, and I moved to New York City, again, back from New Jersey to New Jersey. But anyway, back to New York. So the guy comes back from the, oh, yeah. And then I went into my boss, who told me, you know, I mean, I joined the fun group at work. I had a good, I always had a job because I was me, that was it. I had to support myself. I had this job so I joined the fun group, and everybody went out drinking on Thursday night and Friday, and everybody did, and I never drank as much as anybody else. I mean, I did not drink that much. And one day I had a blackout. And I didn't know what that meant, but I just knew that I was at the party one minute, and the next minute I was home. And when I woke up in the morning, I was like, just to see if there was anybody there. I was so scared, so scared. And then my boss told me I was an alcoholic, and I said, now I heard about all this. You get to go to this luxurious rehab place in Chicago or someplace or in Florida. And I said, okay, well, what should I do? I said, well, send me to a detox then. He said, you don't need one. I don't need one. I said, what should I do? He said, go to AA. So I went to AA. And my life changed completely and totally. And so the guy that I was having an affair with called me after he got back from his honeymoon, and he said, oh, I'm back. You know, can we, you know, when do you want to meet? And I said, oh, I mean, as serious as anything. I wasn't kidding. I said, oh, no, I can't go out with you. You're married. He said, what? Are you kidding? I didn't tell him I was in AA. I didn't tell anybody. But I... The thing that I realized after I came into AA that my reason for not drinking is because, not because I was an alcoholic, but because, wow, look at this life. I mean, I learned how to say no. I mean, I learned so many things in AA that I think I'm through with my childhood, that, you know, you go to AA, and I just want to talk about my recovery because it's amazing. I mean, I was like a little kid when I came in, and they said, don't drink, go to meetings, and you'll be okay. And I thought, well, you know, do I look like I'm not okay? I mean, I have a job. I must have been, like, really kind of, I think they call it mocus. I was like, but they told me to go left. I went left. They told me what to do. I did it. And they said, no relationships in the first year. So I said, okay. And people wanted to go out with me, and they, you know, and it looked like fun, and oh, yeah. But I didn't go out for 10 years. I mean, that 1 year turned into 10 years. And but I just was so afraid of making a mistake. But I did. I learned how to say no in this program. And I remember I was in therapy once, and I think we're talking. We're sitting in a circle, and they talked about, oh, what's your deepest secret? My God, I had so many secrets that I had three things, and one of them was I never graduated from high school. How could I? I mean, I was crazy. My husband hears this not too often, but maybe, you know. But anyway, it was very hard, and that was one of them. And I mean, there are a few things, but I remember I had an empty pit inside of me, and I thought that was just me. And then I began to hear people say, well, I had an empty pit inside of me, and I don't have it today. I don't have an empty pit today. I don't have an empty pit inside of me. I don't. I can say no. I can do what I want to do, except when somebody asked me speak. He said, you know you're not supposed to say no. I said, okay, all right. I'm trying to fly under the radar here, and okay. So when I came into AA, they said no major changes in the first year, but I had already applied for a job, another job, and I got it. And so I spent the first year at this job with this monster of a woman who I was just terrified of her. I didn't say anything, and she would say, once she told me, I won't talk about her alcoholism, but she said that she used to have a drink, and then she doesn't know where that drink was going to take her. This was all part of my education in AA. Didn't know where that drink was going to take her. She'd have a drink, and she'd end up in Chicago. I said, oh, my God, how horrible. And thank God I'm not like that. And then one day, it's New Year's Eve, and, you know, and we're talking. I said, oh, what are you doing for New Year's Eve? She said, well, I'm going to have a drink to bring in the New Year. And I said, what? I thought you ended up in Chicago. Oh, I'm going to have my sister with me. And I thought, okay. You know, I mean, people do crazy things not to drink. And I remember once I was at a party at Citicorp, and I was having so much fun dancing. I'm very shy. Am I speaking loud enough for you? Yes, thank you. I was told I have a very soft voice. I was having fun at this party, and I was dancing and jumping around and doing all kinds of things and probably looking like an idiot. But somebody said, boy, you really had a lot to drink last night. And I said, oh, I don't drink. You don't drink? No, I don't drink, but I can have fun. I mean, I didn't tell them that, but I was, wow, I can. Anyway, but the thing's different from when I was a kid is that I can say no. And I know I have a design for living. I know how it works. I didn't know how it worked. And I remember I struggled for the first couple of years in AA, first one, two, and three. How do you do that? How do you do that? I was so crazy. I went to the main district office in New York City that, you know, and I was crying to this woman. I said, I don't know how to, I was in AA. I didn't go to somebody in AA. I had to go to the top. And I said, how do you do that? One, two, and three. And she said, well, you know, I'm not here to counsel people, but you already have. She said, you admitted I'm not powerless over alcohol. I just admitted that recently, but I'm not powerless over alcohol, but some they say things like, oh, what gets you drugged? Your first, what drink gets you drugged? And I don't know, maybe 10, 20? No. The answer is one, because I know that my story might be different from yours. But I know that I could have anybody's story. I could have anybody's story, because I was a little kid in New York City, and that's all people did, drink and drug. And I didn't, you know, somebody offered me a lewd once because I said I realized I didn't want to be where I was. Whatever that was, oops, uh-oh. Is that, no, that's not mine, that might be yours. Thank you. Perfect, I'm perfect, and I've only been an A for a little while. But she said, you did it, you, I trust the program. I know I'm an alcoholic, but my life was unmanageable. Oh, sorry. My life was a mess. And people would come up to me and they say, don't worry, you're going to be okay. Okay, everybody was taking care of you. You're going to be okay? What? Ew. What's wrong with me? Well, I learned how to talk, clearly. I learned how to talk in AA. I went through school and people would say, oh, they hand out the paper in the room. Is there anybody here who didn't get paper? I never raised my hand. Somebody told my mother I was retarded. Retarded. I was scared to death. Retarded. So I found out I'm not retarded. The minute I went into AA, I went to my boss at Citicorp. I said, I'm going back to school. And he said, in order for you to go back to school, you have to do three things. You have to get a something from this job, and you know, so they'll pay you to whatever it is, and those three things happened, and he couldn't believe it. I don't remember what they were, but went back to school, and it's wonderful. College was really the best thing in the world for me, because I found out that, I mean, I'm very, somebody actually told me I was competitive. I said, competitive? Me? No. I would see somebody with an A over there, and I'd be looking and say, oh, I'm gonna, an A. The A was the only good thing. It proved that I was smart. I was okay. But now this is getting too long and too tangled. Let me think. Oh, yeah. So one day I was walking down the street. I'd been in the program about 10 or 15 years, and I heard this person on the other side, pitch black dark. And Sandra, and I looked around, and it was the shipping magnet. And I looked at him, and I said, hi, and he said, hi, how are you? And he seemed so small. He really seemed small. I thought, oh, he seemed so small, and, you know. And we were walking down, so we had a wonderful conversation, a lovely conversation. We were walked past the subway, because we were just really interested. And he said, at the end, he said, now, meanwhile, he's been married about 12 years. But he said, oh, can I have your number? And I said, well, me giving you my number would cause problems in my life, like you giving you, you know, whatever would cause problems in your life. I don't think he has a problem in his life. I think he's doing the same thing he was doing way, way before, and I'm not. I'm not doing it. And certainly I'm not perfect, but I'm happy today. That's the other thing. I wouldn't have thought I was depressed. I wouldn't have thought of, how could I not be depressed? But when I married my first husband, I was having nightmares, flashbacks, horrible, just a horrible, I don't have those anymore. I do not have but for the longest time, if somebody would raise their hand, I would be like in a panic. So even today, somebody thought I had a small voice. I don't like loud voices. I don't like screaming. I don't like drama. I don't like, you know, all these things that are going on. And I will say that I forgave my parents long before I came into the program. But coming into the program, it's like a different level of forgiveness. It's like a different level. It's just amazing. So I was blessed. Either way, I don't know what it's like to be a mother. I don't know what it's like to have a mother. That's why I got the girls crying on Friday, because I was very teary and emotional. But when my mother had Alzheimer's, I walked into a new level of forgiveness in AA. I mean, this program has been a lifesaver. I mean, I didn't think I was hanging on by a thread, but I must have been. I think I was depressed all my life. But I didn't define it. I just knew that I wasn't happy. So I got married twice. I thought, well, that's what you do. You get married, he takes care of you, blah, blah, blah. It didn't work. It just does not work for me. So today I'm happy. You cry, yeah, I get emotional, yeah. I try to avoid emotional situations like this, but I do, you know, I am a happy person. And so what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, my mother had Alzheimer's, and I it was really very painful. It's horrible. If anybody has that kind of dementia, it's horrible, horrible. And so I come in here to see, in this town, to see my parents and my mother. I went to see her in the hospital, and one day she said, I walked in, and she said, oh, what a pretty girl. And I said, oh, thank you. And it was lovely. I sat with her, and I saw what it's like, what it would have been like to have a real mother. The angry part of her brain was destroyed, and she was just this sweet person. And I said to her, you know, I'm an adult. I said, do you want a hug? She said, I would love a hug. I told my brother, he's older than him, he said, she said that? We don't know what that means, you know. A hug, a mother, you have a problem, you go to your mother. No. I had surgery on my breast many years ago, and I'm in the hospital, and somebody came to me and said, what did your mother say? I said, my mother? You know, what? People tell their mother things. I don't know. And my father was a great, he was a really good man, and my mother was they were both broken. That's really the whole message here. And, oh my God, there's not a stone unturned here. I can tell you about I found out I had a brother, got this phone call, thank God I was in the program about 15 years, and he said, blah, 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 I'm your brother. And I said, oh, okay. And he turns out to be a wonderful brother, but he grew up with that. So he had that trauma of being given away to somebody else, and my mother had an affair. And, yeah, it's like a messy mess, you know. And my mother they just were broken. That's really it. They were broken. And I'm not broken today. So let's see if I said everything. Does everybody know how wonderful AA is? It's amazing. So I finished school, and I've been, this is my big secret today, is that I've a psychotherapist in New York City for the past 25 years. And the reason I did it is because I got help when I was really, really in trouble, and I didn't want anybody else to go through what I had to go through. I want people, if you need help and you want help, to be able to get it, to be able to ask for help and to be able to get it. So that's my last thing. I'm almost... No, God, 20 minutes. Well, I'll be through. That's my life is pretty simple. But anyway, so I come to California and say, you have to have all these, you have to get licensed in California. So I'm not resentful about it at all, because I think it's amazing. I'm taking these courses online, and at first my sponsor in New York said, you don't really want to take those tests. And I said, yes, I do, but I was so resistant. I couldn't get past it. I just couldn't mobilize myself. Well, now I'm mobilized, and I'm rolling. And the first course I just completed was sex. Sounds like fun, right? I said, oh, this will be easy. I learned more about sex than I learned some things I never imagined, and I had, there's a name for it. And it's not a diagnosis, it's a, oh my God, I it was horrible. I hope I can forget it, but I have to remember it for the big test. And then I did, then I finished ethics. And ethics are wonderful, you want to do the right thing. Oh no, no, it's how many ways can I get sued if I make a mistake? You know, if I don't do this, and if I misrepresent, but it's interesting, it's very interesting. I'm really glad, because I do, but I didn't want to come here and speak, because who wants to go to an alcoholic therapist? Come on. Some crazy lunatic. Okay. So, but AA has been a blessing. It's, I was going to write notes, but I didn't say, I thought the 10-minute speaker would go on for 20 minutes like they do. Everybody does. Nobody stops. They just go on. And 10 minutes. Thank you. Thank you very much. So what else can I say? I love the program. I'm still a little afraid of people. I still don't. When women want to come to me to hug me, I was like, you know, sometimes I'm just kind of quiet. And Unless you get me talking, then I can really go. But so then today I was at the rummage sale at the church, and that was nice. I met a couple of people, and there was one person there. I said, "Are you a friend of Bill's?" And he knew what I was talking about. He said, "Yes." But he goes to the other program, but it was really nice. It's so nice to I saw somebody in the drugstore, and she came over and talked to me, and I was so happy to be recognized. And before I came in, before I moved here, I would travel. I was in Citicorp before I was a therapist. I was in Citicorp traveling around all over the place, and I'm regressing a little bit now. And I had my point, I was supposed to socialize with everybody, and I got reported because I didn't socialize with people, because one guy said, "Oh, we went to a belly dancing place, and everybody, we're eating with our hands, and we're sitting on the floor." And I said, "I don't eat with my hands, and I don't sit on the floor." I was so pompous, you know, but I didn't go to bars, and, you know, I got reported, but that was okay. I didn't get fired. I eventually quit and went back to school, and that's it. AA offered me the opportunity to do so many things. I mean, I'm so blessed in this program. And I will, now that you all tell you how I met my husband, I was not dating. I mean, I went out with a few people, but everybody, you know, they just, it's just a mess. So my life in New York City for the past 20 years was go to work, get up at 6 a.m., go to a meeting, go to work, see everybody, come home, go to sleep, get up, go to work, you know, and that was my life. And then one day I was on, I would never go online dating. Oh, please, I'm just, would never do that. But I went to schoolmates or classmates, and I saw this picture of this guy who, a picture, and there were two pictures, and they were the same with a different pose. And I just wrote, I write on the bulletin board because I have no secrets. I'm not trying to meet somebody, for heaven's sake. I mean, God forbid I should meet a man. You know, my experience has been so bad. But so I wrote and I said, well, I think I said something like, "Oh, it's interesting." You know, you put it on the bulletin board. I'm not very computer savvy, but I knew that's public. I like public, you know, with that. And not being secretive or seductive, I just said, "Well, I noticed that you haven't changed in 50 years." And he thought that was the funniest thing he ever heard. And he wrote to me. And we started writing back and forth. So I looked, of course, I'm in New York City. I looked at the map. Where in the heck is Virginia? Where is that? And we went to high school together. He recognized me, but I didn't recognize him because I was like a ghost in school. I mean, I didn't think, nobody, I went back to a reunion once and they didn't know who in the heck I was. And it was very disappointing. I mean, come on, you didn't know me? He noticed me. And we got married, we've been married 3 years. 3 years. And we had such a fun wedding. I've had two weddings, and they were different than this one. And so this one, I first of all, I started going to Virginia. I was, I told my friends, I'm riding to this guy that's really fun, and it's really perfect, and now I'm really, don't anybody go to sleep here, but I was, he didn't invite me to Virginia. Come on, what's wrong with you? After we've been riding for about 8 months, and my friends were saying, what's wrong with him? And he sent me this great picture of him in chaps and a gun, you know. That's such a great picture. I showed one of my New York sophisticated friends, and he said, is he in the KKK? Of course not. So here I am, we made plans. I mean, men, they don't, you know, they don't get it. You have to meet each other. Come on. What do you think, I'm going to write forever? So I said, I made a plan. I said, well, listen, I'll take the train up. I wasn't going to sleep with the man. I'll take the train up. I'll hop off I'm from New York. You hop off the train, you get a hotel, you can pick me up on Saturday and show me the sights around this Virginia. Well, he said, no. I mean, come, but you can't stay at a hotel. There are no hotels there. It's in the middle of nowhere. I'm on the train going to Virginia. My friends, they said, where are you going? You give somebody your phone number. Where, you know, make sure we're never going to see me again. So I'm on this train, and I said, well, where is this, you know, what this stop is? I forgot, Concord or something, Virginia. They said, I said, I don't want to miss it. You know, and they said, you won't miss it. Last stop. Last stop. So I go to Virginia and I meet him, and I was so scared when I, you know, I mean, it was pitch black. There's this man standing there with a coat on and a hat, and I knew it was him, but I thought, I can't stay on the train because it's not going anyplace. I can't get back to New York because it doesn't leave until tomorrow. So that was the beginning of our love story, and it's amazing. He's the most amazing man, and I told him when we... Derek said, all right, you sit there, your husband sit there. And I said, okay, yeah. And said, well, he told me to sit here. I've got to sit here. And now you all know he's my husband, and he's wonderful. He's amazing. So when I was going to get married, I thought, here I am. I'm running in New York City. I told my sponsor, she said, what do you... I am a therapist. I mean, I wear black and a nice little scarf, and I'm very, you know, carry a briefcase, and, you know, I'm conservative. But everybody said black is my favorite color. It really is, because you can do anything with black. So now I'm getting married. She said, what are you wearing? I said, well, I'll wear my black pants as usual, and a jacket and something. She said, she just looked at me like, so I said, oh my gosh, I've got to find. So I'm running down the street looking at all, tried on every white dress. I don't wear dresses. I don't like dresses. But I found this perfect pair of white pants and this nice pink jacket. And I got this great hat. It has to have a veil on it. It had a little veil. And it's so cute. I had so much fun at that wedding. I mean, it was my wedding. It was fun. And we decided we wanted to get married in church. And it was because we didn't want to go to the judge. But he had this little tiny church in Virginia. People were wonderful. They made us a wedding cake. They just moved into this big church, and it was a small. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. My brother came to the wedding, and you know, it's amazing. And it's been wonderful. I mean, I really am happy. Happy. I thought I was happy before, but now I'm really happy. And then we just, you know, here we are. We're in California. We're both very happy. And, I wasn't going to talk for this. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. But then I had a busy bit. I'm studying on sex last week and then ethics this week, and I'm like a wreck. And we had this rummage sale at church, which was really, really fun. You guys should have come. Bargains galore. It was really fun. I got to talk to everybody, and they all know who I am. And I got a phone call from my brother. I didn't mention my family because in Al-Anon we call it detaching with love. I have this family that's so dysfunctional and so awful, and I'm so sensitive. They used to always laugh at me. I'd come and visit, and I'd be crying to get on the plane, and they would be laughing, and they're different from me. And my mother would say, before she got really sick, she'd say, she's not like us. And I thought, thank God I'm, you know, no, I'm not. But I, you know, I did come to see them. And so we moved to California. I've detached with love. I mean, there was some horrible things going on with I was the only person that took care of my father when he was really sick. And he was afraid of everybody else. And it was just really very... very, very hard. Vincent didn't know. He was before that, before I met him, but it was just very painful. I had to call the police on my sister, and I talked to my sponsor. I said, what if they arrest her? What am I going to do? And then I not only had to get through that trauma, I had to report it to the police. I had to report her again. I had to go through that whole thing. I have to report her again because she now lives in Washington. But today, I'm at the rummage sale. My husband says, you better call her. Your niece came to see you. And these people just never grew up, never left home, never... I really think that the stress killed my parents. And so here's my niece coming without calling and thinking that I don't know what, but it's not that I hate them. It's not that I dislike them. It's just that it's not healthy for me to be there because I'm too... too sensitive. I just can't. It's just a real. Anyway, my husband told him that I wasn't available. So that was a trauma. I mean, I just felt like I still feel a little shaken by it. Like, I'm sorry to be that way, but that's the way it is. I mean, my brother died relating to drugs. My anyway, it's just not, it's just a mess. One more tiny thing. As I was growing up, I mean, alcoholic, it's like so prevalent in my family on both sides. My mother said she used to watch, her mother used to eat, she loved her mother so much, and they'd eat around the dinner table. And she'd look over and her mother had her face in the soup, and she said she thought she was sleeping. So they don't know anything about alcoholism, don't know that anything. And my father grew up on a reservation in Montana, and everybody drank, and he said it was fine before they brought alcohol to the tribe. Then it was all over, all downhill. And I remember my Uncle Harry, and all I grew up to, poor Uncle Harry. Poor Uncle Harry. They loved Uncle Harry. He was a wonderful, wonderful man. But he used to chase his girlfriends around with a knife, and he was really like a nut. And I was going through my parents' stuff one day when I was visiting, and I think I was cleaning out my mother's stuff, and I found a letter from my Uncle Harry, or from his daughter, and it said, before Uncle Harry died, he had 10 years in the program. 10 years. And my dad, 10 years, and my dad said, oh yeah, he was the president of AA. And my dad was so cute. he was the president of AA. And my dad, they didn't tell Daddy I was the president of AA in New York City because they wouldn't understand. So, but they just knew that I was different. And one opportunity to talk to my mother, we're sitting in a restaurant and in Santa Maria, and my mother, this girl came over. My mother was funny and hilarious, and people just were drawn to her. Came and sat next to my mother, and she told her life story about her father was IBM and all this stuff, and they moved every couple of years and blah, blah, blah. And my father was in the Air Force, and my mother, and that's really our story too, that moving all around, so it was difficult. But my mother turned around to me and she looked me in the face and said, is that what it was like with you? And I said, yes. And then she went away. She just drifted away because that's the way it was. I grew up with a mother who wasn't available, who couldn't talk and couldn't be present. And I would have loved to have the opportunity to say, Mom, it's okay. It's all right. Let me have that opportunity to say that, but I couldn't. So when they say make amends and do all that stuff, I couldn't talk. I mean, my amends were living amends, living forgiveness. I came, you know, every year. I ran into somebody at the rummage sale who I said, I know you. Are you in the program? I said, are you a friend of Bill? I think I'm repeating myself now, but I said, many years ago, I was in Coco's, and there was this noisy group of people who came in and watched AA tattooed on his arm, and they said, oh my God. And I'm with my church friends, my parents' friends, they're very dignified. I wanted to jump over to that table. They were having fun. I'm an alcoholic too. But I came here, and I didn't go to AA all those years, and I didn't, because I go to the church, and I said, they wanted me to do something today, and I said, no, I have an appointment. I can go with you guys. Here I am. But I don't tell them that I'm an AA, and I don't tell anybody. And so anyway, that's my story. I think you know everything up to the moment. So, and it was, yeah, so thank you for letting me share.
Let's give Sandra another round of applause.
Oh, thank you.
That works.
Speakers usually bring me a gift when they.